1340 96.5 KVGC 740. With us today, Tom Dixon, CEO of Sutter Amador Hospital, Dr. Bob Hartman, no stranger to KVGC listeners, former Amador County Health Officer and a longtime local physician here. Guys, thanks for being here with us again today. Thank it was you. A very, very good time we had last time. For those of you who are watching on camera, I'm not being robbed today. Tom and Bob are wearing their masks. And before we get into this, because I want to talk about stay-at-home orders and masking and so forth, you've got a bag of masks there.
Right, Jim, fortunately with your camera up there, we can do show and tell on KVGC. And there are a number of people who have contacted me who make masks. They're sort of led by Pearly Tyson, one of our neighbors, and they are making cloth face masks for distribution. So they give them to me, and because I'm working at the Emergency Operations Center, I have contact with a number of county agencies, and we've been giving them to six or eight different county departments. They've gone to homeless. Some have gone out to vineyard workers. The Adult Protective Services and Child Protective Services are giving them to their clients. And these people are just wonderful. There are about six people making masks. And every morning I go by Pearly Tyson's gates. I call them the Pearly Gates. I don't know if that's proper. And pick up a bag of masks. This morning I picked up 65 masks made by Karen Noel, Christine Cox, and others.
Show some masks.
They're beautiful masks. They've all been cleaned. Different patterns. The ones that go fastest are the...
That's the one that looked like you wear to the club right there, that one. Tom wants that one. Been eyeing that one.
The 49ers and Giants masks go really quickly. You know, I'm usually left with a batch of Oakland A's masks until last, you know. But we really appreciate everything people are doing in this community. It's just part of our community, Jim. You know.
So let's talk about the stay at home orders and masking. We'll start with masking, for example. Tom, when you first came here a couple of weeks ago, you were wearing a mask at that time, and that was just at the beginning when it was starting to get out in public. People were wearing them in public more, and you've been wearing one ever since. Now, did your wife make that mask for you?
Nope, or is this is hospital issued.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you have to, so when you're in the hospital, do you have to wear a different mask? Can you wear a homemade mask or a bandana across your, or do you have to wear a special type of mask?
So if you are a caregiver and you are within guidelines that the CDC has published, you have to wear a mask like I'm wearing now.
Okay.
And this is a surgical mask or procedure mask. Or the N95, for example, depending on the situation. Everyone else in the hospital is issued a mask or, and like me, I'm administrative, so I can either wear a hospital-issued mask or I can bring in a homemade mask.
Because your wife was making masks.
Right. Still
is? Wow, that's great. And Dr. Bob, you're wearing one of the homemade masks.
I'm wearing one of the homemade masks.
You're in the operations center, right?
I have not been on the front lines at the hospital, and just kudos to all those people who are, but I've not been on the front lines of the hospital. So for me, it is acceptable to wear a cloth mask. And what I'm doing by wearing a cloth mask is preventing me from giving coronavirus to someone else should I be one of those asymptomatic people. If I was getting symptoms, just like we urge everyone else to do, stay home. If you have a fever, cough, diarrhea, shortness of breath, stay at home. Stay at home. No. Call your healthcare provider. So many healthcare providers are doing virtual visits, and they can evaluate by over the phone or using your computer. They can evaluate whether you need to go to the emergency department, which is a very important step. So virtual visits are available and really a good thing for us to be using.
You know, we've been hearing the term a lot lately. It's the new norm. It's going to be the new normal, the new norm. Do you think masks will be the new norm or until we get through this? Either one of you jump in on this. What do you think?
I don't know.
I think, you know,
we have to
eventually reopen. It's just heart-wrenching.
Okay, now, is that as a physician or is that personal, Bob Harp? Because I want to ask you as a physician, and I want to ask you as a hospital administrator.
As a physician, I think masks will be the new norm for a period of time.
Okay.
Eventually, we'll get through this. But as we reopen, I think that masks will be required in some situations. Certainly, the physical distancing, the washing your hands, all of those things that we've been preaching for the last several months need to stay in place as we begin to reopen. But right now, as a physician, I think there is danger in reopening.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday in the United States of America, there were still about almost 1,600 deaths from coronavirus. I listened to an interview last evening. Anesthesiologist from the Los Angeles area was interviewed, just talking about the details, how horrible this disease is. You know, there's a young man who grew up in Amador County who is an intensive care unit anesthesiologist down in L.A. now, in his 30s. I talked to his dad recently, and I said, "Wow, how's your son doing down there?" And he said, "All he does all day long is intubate people who have coronavirus." And we all know the figures. If you get intubated and you have coronavirus, you have approximately 50% chance of dying. You know, some areas of the country and of the world is a higher chance. So as much as we respect individual freedoms and, you know, we have to protect our vulnerable populations.
Your answer would be wear it.
My answer is wear it.
For the time being. Okay, as a hospital administrator,
do you think
this will...
There's no doubt that this experience is going to change us. Mm-hmm. From a personal standpoint, I can tell you that in the future, even once this is all over again, I'll be wearing a mask on an airplane. Any place that there is large numbers of people, I think I'll probably have a mask with me that I can selectively use.
But why will you be wearing a mask on an airplane?
Well, I mean, I think just the there's so many people crammed into such a small space. That's where I would think that it would be wise for me to mask up, and maybe even in a hospital, certain circumstances. But hard to predict.
Fear you would give someone something that you picked up.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're wearing a mask. You are protecting yourself, not primarily, but you are primary. As Bob said, we're protecting everybody else just in case you happen to have something.
So I'm not wearing a mask right now. So I'm pretty much going commando with this right now.
I could actually give it to you, and you could give it to me. We are pretty close to 6 feet away from you.
Yeah. Okay. So,
someone's ringing your doorbell, Jim.
Bob, could I ask you to please
go get the door. Now, Jim.
This is a high-tech radio station.
You asked me the screening questions when I came to your door.
Yes, so. Especially screen this lady. She's sleeping with a known... Oh, I don't even want to talk about that guy. So, Tom, back to the staying at home,
okay,
and how important that is. Do you think that's helping flattening the curve? I mean, that's where we're hearing that.
Absolutely. In fact, when Dr. Hartman gets back, he can probably talk about this. But Amador County has a model that tries to predict the incidence of COVID-19. And it is directly related to whether or not you have a strict stay-at-home policy or a lax stay-at-home policy. And it's just it's based on data. It's based on the experience of other cities. And there is a clear relationship between staying at home and the spread of this disease.
I reached out to Sheriff Ryan over the weekend and asked him. He's going to come in today and cut up a public service announcement about the importance of staying at home and so forth. And he said he ran it by Dr. Kerr, and she agreed, too, on it. We were just talking. Bob's our doorman today for us.
I did not get a tip at the door, Jim.
About staying at home and how important that is to flattening the curve. Because, it's going to be 70 degrees, 71, 72 today. It's going to be 80 by the end of the weekend. Next week, it's going to be beautiful weather. And people are going to say, you know what?
If you do get out in public, and we encourage people to exercise, we encourage people to, get out and breathe the fresh air. But if you're going to be around other people, 6 foot distance, wear your mask. You know, as Tom was referencing when I got back from answering your door, there are projections of curves based on whether you are doing stay at home, whether you're doing physical distancing, whether you are doing what the governors of almost all of our states have urged us to do. Mm-hmm. There's a good website called covidactnow.org. It's all strung together, covidactnow.org. And you can plug in any county in the United States, and it will pull up what the predictions are if you do stay at home, if you do our prevention measures, and it can predict where you will be if you lax those measures, if you withdraw them. And it's pretty frightening. And I think, you know, everyone who has a computer should pull that up now, covidactnow.org. Pull it up at some point and look at it and type in Amador County, California.
Who makes the models? Who creates the models?
My understanding of it is it's an amalgamation of scientists and epidemiologists that put it together. I don't know who sponsors that particular website, but there are multiple websites out there, and the projections are roughly the same on them.
So what do you say to people that say, we only have two cases here in Amador County? What do we have to worry about?
Because because we are pretty darn good at staying at home.
Right.
Pretty darn good at social distancing, physical distancing. We could do better. There are a lot of people out there not wearing masks.
Let me just correct myself. We actually have seven cases.
Yes.
Two were hospitalized.
Exactly.
We have seven cases.
And our surrounding counties have more cases than we do. I believe Calaveras is up to 13 cases, and El Dorado County is up in the 30s or 40s in terms of number of cases.
So do you think that we could see those, you know, what's the hospital doing planning for, you know, a surge?
Sure.
Is there a plan afoot here?
You know, the team at Sutter Amador spent most of March putting together a comprehensive surge planning document. And I think it's a great plan. And, you know, our chief nursing officer, Melody Montgomery, kind of began using the term, we're going to plan for the worst and we're going to hope for the best.
Right.
So our surge plan is all based on worst case scenario. What would we do, worst case scenarios, if the incidence of COVID-19, say, approximated some of the cities that had the biggest problems? How would we respond? And we put together, I think, a very, very comprehensive document, because it talks specifically about Sutter Amador Hospital and what's the radiology department going to do? What's pharmacy going to do? And how would they respond to, you know, a major spike in patients presenting to the emergency department, and especially if they needed critical care services. So the best thing about our plan is it kind of corresponds and fits in directly with the overall Sutter Health Plan. And so, you know, we're part of a system.
We're
lucky that we're part of a system, because we can really use the system resources to make sure that the services provided here in Amador County are good. So we put it together, and we're also, you know, making sure that we're connecting with the county's emergency center operations. So it's very comprehensive, and it is very connected to all of the resources that we would need. Maybe I can just give you a couple details. So, for example, critical care is usually the part that's the most concerning. So a few people who get COVID-19 require critical care services. So our plan is that once our critical care unit is filled, because the state of California has kind of loosened up some of the regulations that we deal with, we can now convert our PCU, our progressive care unit, into a critical care unit, and that doubles our capacity.
Mm-hmm.
If we fill up both of those units and we need more critical care services, we can transfer to Sacramento Medical Center, or Sutter Medical Center Sacramento. That's the hospital that we've been designated to work with. And so it's just a stepwise plan that allows us to, based on the demand for services, respond accordingly.
Now, what about screening visitors that come to the hospital? Do you do that?
We do. Everybody who comes to the hospital gets screened. Physicians, employees, visitors, vendors, everybody gets screened. We take their temperature. If they're above 100 degrees, 100.0, they don't come in. You don't get in. And so people are masked. We gel them up. We give them guidance as to, you know, how to behave if they're if you're a visitor, you're not going to get in under most circumstances. So we're being very restrictive of who can get in, and it is just everything right now is geared around trying to prevent the spread of the disease.
So protecting the patients.
Yes.
Bob, what happens if my kid's playing and breaks his arm, or, you know, I'm sick of... That's not the COVID. I've got something else. Can I still go to the emergency room?
Well, that's a very important message.
Can I still call 911?
Tom and I talked about that yesterday. You know, the things happen. And just because COVID is there and is number one on our radar screen, other things happen. People have strokes. People have heart attacks. People break their arms. And the emergency department is open. They're very, very careful about disease prevention in the emergency department, but the full spectrum is still there. And the one of the problems is, and the neurologists in Sacramento have noticed this, is that people in that area who are having strokes delay coming to the hospital. People are terrified to go to the emergency department, and they shouldn't be. You know, right. There are things that need to be taken care of. With strokes, you know, time saves brain. With heart attacks, time saves heart muscles. And so there are things that you just simply have to do. Life and illnesses go on, and there are things that it is necessary to go to the emergency department for. If it is not the absolute acute situation, it's better to call your healthcare provider ahead of time,
right.
Maybe a virtual visit, but get some direction from them. Also, they can call the emergency department and say, oops, someone's coming in and their symptoms sound like it might be COVID. You know, get ready for it.
Yeah.
Sutter has started a couple of weeks ago, a COVID hotline. And it was originally for Sutter Health patients only, but it mm-hmm. has been opened up so that anybody can call the COVID hotline. And I'll give you the number so you can post it on your Facebook page if you'd like, Jim. But it's toll-free, 866-961-2889. So I'll have you put that on if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody can call it and ask questions about COVID.
We ran a story about this the other day, too, and featured that. So, Tom, is the hospital, because we hear nationwide that elective surgeries are being not being allowed anymore and so forth. Are we doing anything like that here at Sutter, or is Sutter following those?
We are still following.
Is the hospital in operation?
We are in operation. Yeah, but we are deferring as many elective surgery cases as we can. So over a period of time, even an elective surgery case can transition into something that needs to be done.
Sure.
So we do make exceptions, but I can tell you, across the country, people are now starting to talk about, is it time? Is it time to loosen up a little bit? Is it time to begin this community, for example, there's one hospital. There's only one hospital here.
Right.
And so there are people that need things, and they've already waited. They've already waited some time. And so we're all within Sutter Health and across the country talking about, maybe there's an introductory stage where we can kind of loosen things up a little bit and get some of these cases taken care of.
So are you doing video visits with people, the doctors and so forth?
The primary care physicians are doing video visits. We've always had video capability in our emergency department for certain services.
So if I had a doctor's appointment for next Wednesday, for example, what would I do? Would I just call my healthcare provider and say at Sutter Hospital? Let's say we were with Dr. Roland,
who's been wonderful throughout this
now,
in terms of
would
getting
I still go to
out.
Dr. Roland, or would I call her office and say, what are we going to
well,
do?
Well, what would happen, Jim, is her office would call you and say, do you have what's the situation? What's the problem? And do you have capability to do a virtual visit? If not, could it be handled via telephone? So some people do come into the office, but a number of them are done virtually. Yeah. And Dr. Roland was really kind of a pioneer in getting this started here last month in Amador County. I believe there are 15 providers who are doing video or virtual visits at this point.
The dog is very upset. For people that...
What did you say, Bob?
The dog does not want to be on video.
No, the dog. Jerry's reminding everybody to wear their mask, wash their hands at least 20 minutes or 20... I keep saying 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's
and everybody
wrong.
Texts me and goes, hey, no one's going to wash their hands for 20 minutes. So remember to wash your hands for 20 seconds or so and use... hand sanitizer if you don't have soap and water. Correct. And the PPE donations are still
we're still getting tremendous.
The masks there are coming in.
Yeah, we get donations from the community on an ongoing basis. This, you know, the community is always trying to help. Mm-hmm. And we have benefited from it tremendously. So we can still use more PPE donations. So
on behalf of Sutter Health and Sutter Amador, what do you want to tell the folks in Amador County?
Be safe. You know, be safe. Follow the guidelines. As you know, when it's beautiful out there, I know it's hard, but mm-hmm. we're here to protect ourselves and those more vulnerable in our community. And the way to do it is to stay at home.
Dr. Bob, on behalf of the health workers.
Be safe. The same thing Tom said. You know, listen to Dr. Rita Kerr. She's an excellent health officer, mm-hmm. scientifically based, although she knows the community and she has the community at heart and realizes what is best for our community.
Right.
Stay at home. The Emergency Operations Center has 11 people in it who are working diligently every day to make sure that we've got enough supply of personal protective equipment, medical equipment, to make sure that word is getting out to the community about what is the recommendation at this point. So stay healthy. Stay healthy.
And hopefully the next time we talk, no one will need a mask.
Hopefully no one will need a mask. But, you know, Jim, once again, kudos to you. Thank you so much. KVGC is such an important piece of
our
community.
Thank you. Well, we're trying to do our best. You know, got to get through this for everybody. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
And Dr. Bob, as
thank
always.
You, Jim.
I saw Mike run by the other day. I haven't seen you run by lately.
Well, I kind of been getting to the
office
Emergency Operations Center and hanging around doing everything.
You're a little busy these days.
I've been doing my mask pickup early in
there
the morning.
There you go. There you go. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It is 8 o'clock. You're listening to 1340 96.5 KVGC Jackson.